Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, what a glorious day to be in your house of the Lord. Lord, thank you so much for not letting the grave hold you. Thank you for your blood that you shed for each and single one of us. Without that, we can't have new life. Thank you for that blessing you blessed upon each and every one of us. Let us receive that, Lord, today. Lord, you brought every single one of us in this house today for a reason. Lord, please speak to us what you want us to know. Break chains that are bound. Break them, Lord. Only you can with your blood that can do that. Lord, be with your brother this morning as he brings your word. Speak through him. Let us receive it with open arms, open minds, and open hearts. Lord, thank you for what you do for us and what you mean to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Well, good morning. And it is a good morning. I hope you brought your Bibles this morning. If you didn't, we've got, if you didn't bring a Bible, steal somebody's. That's all. That's the best thing you can ever steal, by the way. We've got the words on the screens if you don't have a Bible, but we always love reading the Scriptures and then diving into the Scriptures here at Second Mile and asking two questions. What does this say, and what does it mean today? And so we're going to answer those two questions today about our text. And I've got a bad case. I can't help it. I want to honor the Lord in everything that we do and say here this morning. Could we rise in honor of the reading of God's Word? We're in Luke chapter 23, and I'm going to read verses 44 down through 49, and then this morning we'll cover the rest of those verses there. Luke chapter 23, verse 44. Now it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. Then the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Having said this, he breathed his last. So when the centurion saw what had happened, he glorified God, saying, "Certainly, this was a righteous man." And the whole crowd who came together to that sight, seeing what had been done, beat their breast and returned. But all his acquaintances and the women who followed him from Galilee stood at a distance, watching these things. Brother Billy Walker, ask God to bless the reading, the teaching, and the preaching of his word this morning, would you?
Father, come bring your Holy Spirit, sit down here among us and teach us today through our brother. Father, too long many of us have been in the dark shadows of Friday. The Sunday's coming. The Sunday's here. Speak to us, Lord. Your servants are listening. In Christ's name we pray.
Amen. Please be seated. Proverbs 25:25 says, "As cold water to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country." The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is good news from a far country. Amen. It's the good news from heaven in which God has taken the steps necessary with humanity's two greatest problems, the problem of sin. What are you going to do about your own personal sin in light of the fact that a thrice holy God created you? And what are you going to do about the prospects of your own death? I know you didn't come to hear that, but we're all going to die if Jesus tarries. We're all going to the funeral home or somewhere else, but we're all going to leave here sooner or later. Those are our two biggest problems. We've never been able to whip them, get around them, or get under them, get through them, get over them, any of that. And so God has taken the steps to meet those two great needs of ours. And so if someone asks you, what is the gospel all about? What would you say? What is the gospel all about? Well, Friday night we talked about 1 Corinthians 15, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. The gospel is good news because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is the gospel. Now, I just want to go on record this morning and say there are pastors, preachers, speakers, elders, bishops, deacons, overseers all over the country this morning preaching the gospel, the good news. And there's a lot of other preachers out there that can preach the gospel better than I do. But no one can preach a better gospel than I can. Because some of y'all will get that when you get home today, but we have a great gospel. It's the best news that we'll ever hear. And I want to say three things this morning quickly about the gospel. First of all, His death, the Lord's death, was pronounced. When Jesus died on that old rugged cross, immediately His death was pronounced by some people. Everyone knew He was dead. His death was first of all pronounced by a friend. Look at verse 50. Now behold, there was a man named Joseph, a council member, a good and just man. He had not consented to their decision. Indeed, he was from Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who himself was also waiting for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Now, Joseph of Arimathea was an acquaintance, a friend of the Lord Jesus. And he came to care for the Lord's body at death. He was a prominent member of the Jewish Supreme Court. He was what is called the Sanhedrin. He had been waiting for the kingdom of God. He was looking for the Messiah. And Joseph, I believe, had come to believe that Jesus was this Messiah, because Luke tells us this morning that he did not consent to the deeds and the decisions of the council. Now, Joseph was a wealthy man, and he decided that he wanted to use his resources to express his love and devotion for the Lord. But up until this point in time, Joseph had been he had been a secret disciple. Now, Jesus said, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father who is in heaven. He had some kind of faith, but he didn't have a vocal faith. He didn't go public with his faith. And let me just park right there for just a minute. Is that okay? Those of you that are members here know we're going to park, so that's what we're going to do. Today we claim allegiance to all kinds of things. We do. We don't mind taking a stand for the Tennessee Vols, or the Tennessee Titans. We claim allegiance to the St. Louis Cardinals and the Atlanta Braves. We claim allegiance to the Austin Peay State University Governors. Amen, Coach Gregory. And we claim allegiance to the Boy Scouts, the Girl Scouts, all of these clubs, the Lions Club, the Rotary Club. We claim allegiance to all of these things, and we wear their uniforms. We wear their hats. We wear their helmets. We put bumper stickers on our cars. We even tattoo our bodies and paint our faces to show our allegiance. People are proud to promote what they stand for. Yet so many times when you bring up the name of Jesus out in our community, a holy hush falls over. People get real quiet. And I'm not exactly sure why that is. But I want to tell you, it is time that believers stepped out boldly and proclaimed allegiance to the Lord Jesus Christ. Our nation is on a downhill slide. And if we don't boldly proclaim the good news, go ahead and clap. Hallelujah. Go ahead and praise God. This is not the time. My point is, this is not the time to be a secret disciple. By the way, did you know Jesus died out in public for every one of us? And we don't talk about this, but he died stark naked. That's just another way that they could really shame a victim of crucifixion. And so he went public for you. He paid for your sin and for mine out in front of everybody. He died a public death. And it is time that believers proclaim the gospel boldly. And by the way, there are billions of people on the planet that will die in their sin and spend an eternity separated from the love of God. Can you imagine being separated from the love of God forever? Let me just tell y'all, you're surrounded by the love of God right now and you probably don't even recognize it. Look at this little boy. That is an expression of God's love for this family. And bless God, he evidently gave all of you enough resources to put some clothes on this morning. That's the love of God. How did y'all get here this morning? Transportation. Some of you have money on your hip pocket. That's the blessing and the love of God. Some of you have confidence in what God's doing in your life. Have you got a job? Guess who gave you the job? I mean, you're surrounded by the love of God today. And people who die without Christ, if he's not your Lord and Savior, you're going to have to pay for your sin. Why would you want to do that when Jesus paid it all? Hallelujah. And so his death was pronounced, first of all, by a friend, and then his death was pronounced by a foe. Let me read that again in verse 52. This man, Joseph, went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Now, the Bible says, I think Billy Walker's going to be in the Gospel of Mark today, talking about the resurrection. But Pilate was surprised that Jesus was already dead. The Bible says that when Joseph came to Pilate, he didn't figure Jesus was dead, because sometimes folks hung for days out there on the cross. It was a slow and painful death. And so he sent word to the centurion, to the soldier who was in charge at the crucifixion, to ask about Jesus, and surprisingly, Jesus was already dead. You see, brothers and sisters, no one took his life. He willingly laid his life down. He was in control of everything. And so when Pilate got word that Jesus was dead, he gave the body of the Lord to Joseph. Can I just say real quickly, and I know you didn't come to hear this, but somebody here needs to hear this. You've only got a certain amount of time here on this earth. I mean, the events of the last 2 or 3 weeks, surely that speaks to us today, right? If Jesus tarries and doesn't come soon, all of us in here are going to have to face death. All of us. Did you hear about the three guys? Their buddy had died, and they went to the funeral home that night, and there's their buddy in a casket, and he's all decorated up, looking good. And the first buddy looked down at him and said, "Oh, he sure was a good husband. I hope somebody will say that about me when it's my time." And then the second friend looked down at his buddy, and he said, "Oh, he sure was a good father. I hope somebody will say that about me when I die." And then the third friend looked down in there, and he said, "He does look good, but I hope somebody will say about me when I'm lying there, 'Look, he's moving.'" Nobody wants to die. And everybody wants to go to heaven. But brothers and sisters, death is, the moment we're born, you're old enough to die. And we're all going to face that. I know you didn't come here today to hear that, but that's the gospel truth. Christ died. Now, his death was pronounced not only by a friend, but a foe. Let's talk for just a minute about his burial. Would that be okay? Look at verse 53. If you're there, say amen. Then he took it down it being the body, wrapped it in linen, and laid it in a tomb that was hewn out of rock, where no one had ever lain before. That day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew near. Now, sometimes the Romans, the soldiers, this bunch is the one who came up with crucifixion. It was a horrible death. But sometimes they would leave bodies out on the cross to rot for days. But not the Jews. The law said in Deuteronomy 21 and verse 23 that dead bodies had to be buried. Now, isn't that interesting? The very people who were charged with sentencing Jesus and killing Jesus and condemning Jesus were the same men that said that body had to come down off the cross and be buried. That blows me away. And so Joseph took the Lord's body down off the cross, had his body, now he had some help with some women, and in one last act of devotion to the Lord, they washed his body of all the dirt and the grime and the blood. And then they began to wrap his body, prepare it for burial with linen cloth. And in between the folds of the linen, they placed myrrh and aloes and spices and fragrant oils to prepare his body for burial. Now, that fine linen is symbolic of the righteous acts of the Lord's righteousness. We have no righteousness on our own. You see, you can be on your very best day doing your very best deed. That's not going to get you to heaven. Because you see, we're all lawbreakers. We've all broken the law. We've broken God's commandments. All of us. None of us are righteous enough in our own merit to get to heaven. What you need is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And you see, follow the logic here. That's why God left heaven and came to earth. Because you see, only God, the Son of God, could have lived up to God's standards. He's the only one that could live and keep those commandments. And so he's totally righteous. And you see, brothers and sisters, that's the kind of righteousness that we need to make us right with God. And Jesus, the Bible says, he who knew no sin became sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And so we need his righteousness. Now, I want you to know this. He died for our sins. And when he was buried, it became possible for our sins to be put away. Hello? By the way, that should make somebody up in here do a Baptist dance. And I'm not real sure what a Baptist dance is. But Jesus wasn't the only one buried there. I shared this Friday night. Jesus wasn't the only one buried there that day. There were millions of folks buried there that day. I'll go a step further and tell you that you were buried there. Some of you were buried there that day. I was buried there that day. What in the world are you talking about, preacher? You've lost your gourd. No. Romans 6:4 says we were buried with him by baptism into death. In other words, and I read it again yesterday, Jeremiah 31, 34, God says, I will forgive their iniquity and their sin I will remember no more. Micah 7, 19 says, God says, I will drown your sin in the depths of the sea and there'll be no more fishing allowed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because Christ was buried, it became possible for all my sin to be put away. And I will never, never, ever be hauled into God's courtroom again and say, son, you're guilty of all your sin. Why? Because Jesus paid the price for all my sin. Hallelujah. And so if you're here today and you're struggling with guilt and all that stuff, just come to Jesus. He'll set you free. I'm living proof. I'm the poster child, man. If God will take anybody. If God will take me, he'll take anybody. His burial was prepared. Oh, living he loved me. Dying he saved me. Buried he carried all my sin far away. Rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming. Oh, glorious day. Here's what I wanted to get to. His resurrection was proclaimed. Glory to God. Look at verse 55. And the women who'd come with him from Galilee followed after. And they observed the tomb, and now his body was laid. And how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and fragrant oils, and they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. Y'all know the deal. The women had to leave early because the Sabbath was approaching. And so they didn't quite finish the job, but the Romans, after they left, because the Sabbath was almost there, and so they rolled this big 2-ton stone over the entrance of the tomb and sealed it with the Roman seal, putting all the power and the authority behind Rome, and stationed a 24-hour Roman guard out in front of the tomb. And so everybody knew Jesus had died. Everybody knew he was buried. But Luke mentions the third day when they came back after the Sabbath. He mentions the name of three women that came to the tomb early on Easter morning. Listen to this. Now on the first day of the week, when is that? Sunday. Very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. See, they came to finish the job. But they found the stone had been rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Now, as they arrived at the tomb early that Easter morning, they found that not only had the tomb been rolled away, the tomb was empty. No Jesus. He wasn't there. And they began to ask questions. And all of a sudden, these two, they may have been angels, but Luke says they were two men dressed in shining garments. By the way, there's only two men in the Bible who never died, but they went to heaven. You know who they were? Enoch and Elijah. And Bible scholars think it possibly that could have been these two guys there in the tomb. And so the women are tore all to pieces because Jesus isn't there. And they've been inside. And by the way, the stone was rolled away not so that Jesus could get out, but so that the eyewitnesses could get in. A Pentecostal amen belongs right there, folks. Hallelujah. And so the angels' announcement, or whoever these guys were, they said, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" And the women didn't have an answer for that. And he said, "He is not here, he has risen." And then these men asked him if they remembered that Jesus had told them this, that he would be crucified, that he would be buried, that he would be raised from the dead. And then amazingly, they remembered the gospel that Jesus had shared with them. And the next thing they did was, guess what? Well, look at verse 5. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again." And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb. Now watch this. Lean in. Don't miss this. They told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. They proclaimed the resurrection to anybody who would listen. Now first they went to the apostles to tell them what had happened. And then they told it to anyone who'd listen to them. And by the way, that's good. That is a good piece of assurance for us. That's what we need to be about. And then verse 10 says, it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. And so, that's right where we are this morning. Jesus is alive. He is risen from the grave, never to die again. And brothers and sisters, you listen to the preacher this morning. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the game changer. It is the crucial factor of our faith. Listen, if Jesus really did get up from the grave, never to die again, by the way, they still hadn't found his bones. Do you know why? Because he's at the right hand of the Father now. And so you're not going to find his bones. And because of that, because he got up out of the grave, defeating death and hell and the grave and everything else. By the way, since he got up, you can too. He's in the life-changing business. He's in the resurrection business. He's alive today. And one of these days, he's coming for me, and I'm going to get up and go with him. I thought this morning he might show up on top of Riverview Cemetery. Woo! I'm ready to go. Are you? Your bag's packed? Let me just share one final thing. You know, when a preacher says, I'm getting ready to close, that's a dangerous thing. But let me share this with you. Now, everybody listen. This is a true story. You know, preachers tell a lot of stories and we embellish them and all that stuff. This is a real story. It really happened. And I've told this before on Easter morning, but I'm going to tell it again. There was this Christian school, and there was this little 12-year-old boy who had a terminal illness. He only had a few months to live, and he was in the second grade. 12 years old, second grade. And Jeremy was a difficult student. He was a distraction. He made strange noises and drooled a lot. Well, the kids saw him as an object of humor and laughter, and Mrs. Miller, the teacher, saw him as a difficult student and really just a disaster. Well, 3 months before Jeremy died, something amazing happened. Mrs. Miller brought some empty plastic eggs to class one day. And she gave the assignment that the children that day were to go home and put something that symbolized new life in those eggs and bring those plastic eggs back to the school the next day and put them on her desk. Well, the kids did that. And so she's sitting there at the desk, and the very first egg she opened up had a butterfly in it. And the kids said, yeah, that symbolizes new life. And then she opened up a second egg, and there was a flower in that one, which symbolizes new life. And then she opened up a third egg, and there was a rock with green moss growing on it. And so all the kids agreed that that was a sign of new life. And then she opened up the fourth egg, and it was empty. And she said, oh, this is Jeremy's. She set it to the side. And Jeremy spoke up, and he said, Miss Miller, you didn't talk about my egg. And she said, Jeremy, that's because it was empty. And Jeremy said, Miss Miller, Jesus' tomb was empty too. True story. 3 months later, Jeremy died. And on his casket at the graveyard, there was 19 empty plastic eggs. Oh, hallelujah. That is the hope of Easter, isn't it? The empty tomb. I want to tell you, this living Jesus changes lives. When you meet the resurrected Lord, he'll change your life. I don't know who I'm talking to in a crowd this large today, but someone's here, and you're not ready to leave. You're not ready to leave this earth. But I want you to know this. Man, God loves you just the way that you are. Amen. You can't do anything about it. He just loves you. And God loves you so much, he sent his one and only son to take care of your two biggest problems. The problem of sin and the problem of death. Amen. And if you'd be willing to turn from your sin and by faith receive Jesus Christ as your Lord, in other words, turn control of your life over to him, he'll not only become your Lord, he'll be your Savior. Amen. And man, he'll come in and he'll start making changes in your life, and he'll give you peace. Passes all understanding. He'll give your life meaning and purpose. And you'll know why you're here. And you'll have this sense of fulfillment that you never had. Hallelujah. Jesus is the only one that can fill that empty hole up in your heart. And many of you here have done that, but many of you are also here and you're wondering, isn't there more to this life than I'm experiencing? Oh, yeah, there is. You see, once you come to faith in Christ, you made the last independent decision of your life. And now, when you pray to receive Him as your Lord and Savior, you just want to please Him every day. Amen. And that begins with a life of obedience. Obedience. How do we know what to do? And God's speaking to many of you across this building right now. Maybe not about salvation. Or maybe it is. Maybe it's an issue of obedience. Friend, you need a church home. You need a church family. You need, believe it or not, you need an ugly pastor like I am. And several of you need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. You got baptized before you got saved. The Bible's crystal clear. After you're saved, you follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Amen. Crystal clear. If you're praying to receive Christ today for the first time, then you need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. There are children here that need to be baptized. There's teenagers here that need to be baptized. There are adults here that need to be baptized. Not for salvation, but because you belong to Him. It's the very first marching order for every new believer. Now, I don't know who God's speaking to here today, but we're going to have what we call an invitation time, a response time, and we're going to ask that you just simply quietly get up out of your seat and come forward, and I'll be here to pray for you. There'll be others here to help you to figure out what it is God's trying to say to you. But you see, you've got to come. You got to come out of the closet. Don't be a secret disciple. Let's pray. If you're here today and you're not sure about your eternal destiny, I wouldn't let any demon keep me from praying to receive Christ today. Right there where you sit, if you'll just agree with God about your sin, and you'll ask Him to forgive you of your sin, and you'll trust whatever time you've got left to Him by calling on Him to save you, He will do that right where you sit. And we want to know about your decision today. You just come forward, and we'll get everything, all the information we need from you, and give you some stuff to take home to get you started right in your new life with Christ. We'll get you baptized. Or maybe you're here today and you've been visiting the church and you need a church home. We'd love to talk to you, let you know what you need to do about that. And this baptistry pool over here is warm. It's ready to go. We've got t-shirts for you. We've got shorts. We've got towels for you. We're trying to make it easy as possible for many of you to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. We can do it right after Sunday school, or we can do it right after this worship service, whatever works best for you. But you've got to come. And there'll be some people right over here to my right that'll receive you and get you ready to do that this morning. But again, it's all up to you. Father, give us the courage. Give us the boldness like you gave old Joseph of Arimathea. Give us the boldness to step out for you. Help us, Lord, on this Easter morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Let's all stand reverently and quietly. And if you're making a decision this morning, we want you to come. Deacons, wives, y'all come. You stand up here with me.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.